All right, today we're going to the book of Philippians, please. Going into Philippians chapter number 3 and try to finish up that chapter 3. And then when we get through chapter number 3, we will go into chapter 4 and we may start a little bit on that this morning. I pray that God might help us. Now, these Philippian believers, now, sometimes I talk about that, and if we're not careful, I just thought of this morning when I was looking over these scriptures. If we're not careful, we'll talk about the letters that God wrote to the Philippian believers, to the Colossian believers, to believers in Ephesus and so forth. And if we're not careful about that, guess what happens? We'll get to the place to thinking about the letter being given to them and not to us. But when we read these scriptures, these letters, they're given to you and me as well. And so actually, sometimes we speak about who he's written these letters to, but in effect, they have been given to you and me as well. And so we look at these and give God the praise and the glory. And when we read it, Paul is actually speaking to you and me through the Spirit. Amen. So we need to look at it like that. These are not just for Philippian believers. It's for believers here in our day, in our time, in our church right now at this moment. So we'll start reading this morning in Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 15. And Paul says, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." Now, let me put this and put it in perspective of where we are to see what happens. We have to remember a little bit about last week. Paul is saying that I'm pressing toward the mark in verse number 14 of that chapter. His great theme on his mind is to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And so our desire ought to be the same, that we are pressing toward the mark. Paul, I believe, gave it every ounce of strength that he had in getting his mind on the Lord. Now, we don't do that. We fail. I've looked it over with Paul and all the letters. And he had to be, to give us 14 letters out of the New Testament to record all that. Paul had to be active in the work of God on a constant basis. He wasn't on and off and up and down. A few days for God and a few days for the world and a few days for self and then a few days for God again. Paul, I believe, was the example of how a man or a woman can live a dedicated, consecrated life. He set that example. Do you get that same feeling when you study about Paul? I read his letters. He don't deviate from one book to another book, from one letter to another letter. He is straight forward. He's with the same idea and the same substance and the same source. And he's got the same message. And he don't change it, regardless of the creed or the color of the person or the place where he's at. He don't show any partiality. He preaches straight forward. And he said, "I'm pressing toward the mark." And I believe he got up every morning pressing toward that mark. Now, he's trying to head them off at the pass. In verse number 15, again, he said, "Let us therefore as many as be perfect." That means, that's not without sin. That means mature. He's looking for maturity in the people. I would to God that I was mature as I ought to be. In that sense of perfect. We can't be without sin. We know that. We've studied that. We've looked at it. And then your life has already proved that. And my life has proved that. Now, I'm saved, and I believe I'm as saved as I'll ever be saved. I don't believe I'll be any more saved. But I will be more mature and more perfect. Now, when I get to heaven, there'll not be any sin because there won't be any temptation, for one thing. Number two, there won't be no devil. Amen. I'll have a new body, and I'll have the mind of Christ, and there won't be no former things. They'll all pass away. All things will be new. So I won't have no access to temptation. And I won't be led astray and we won't sin. We'll have a new life, a new way, a new heaven, and a new way and order of life. Now, we know that, don't we? So, if there's going to be any perfection, it's going to be when we get there. But the perfection we can count on today and what we need to look for and strive for is that maturity. Sometimes I don't act too mature. Sometimes I, and all of us have our flesh, and our flesh enters into that fact of what we want to do. We want to do what we want to do sometimes, and we know today that we need the touch of God in our life. So we look at this, and he says, let us therefore as many as be perfect. In other words, as many of you, as many that's in this congregation, as many that's in this building, as many of you that are mature, he said, be thus minded. In other words, to press toward that mark too as well. And he said, and if in any thing ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. In other words, and if you're not, then I'm asking God to help you to see that. That he might open your understanding. Now, if my understanding is not open, I don't have an open mind to the things of God if he don't keep my mind open, right? If you don't keep your mind open, you're going to have problems. And I do know today that God needs to keep me to see. And if he don't reveal my faults, if he don't reveal to me my failures, I'm not going to get them straightened out, I'll assure you that. And neither are you. So let's go on a little bit more. And he says in verse 16, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, already got there. If you have that, you know, that perfection, that maturity, let us walk by the same rule. Walk that way. Talk that way. Live that way. As mature in the Lord, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Now, you know, for the past chapter, Paul's been talking about, or in this old chapter, chapter 2 as well, he's been talking about the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is something that we all need. To think like him. We think like him, we'll talk like him, we'll work like him, we'll walk like him, we'll be like him. Give God the glory, give God the praise. I'm glad that I, amen, know him in the free pardon of sin. And Paul, he had it on his mind, and we talked about it last week in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. You see, Paul wanted a close relationship with the Son of God. Don't you? I desire that. But you know, I have a problem with that. My flesh fights it. The devil's always around to keep my mind on something else that I don't need to have my mind on. He gets me involved in things that I don't need to be involved in. He gets me suckered into things that I should be separated from. And it happens when I'm not even looking. Happens when I'm not even expecting it. He slips up behind us and throws this stuff on us. And so I pray this morning that I get to the place that some of these maybe thought they had, maybe Paul thought they had, that we might apprehend or have already attained to get there and have that mind of Christ and pressing toward that mark. He said in verse number 17, brethren, he's gone throughout the whole book of Philippians talking to the brethren. Now, Paul's not talking to the unbeliever in most cases in this book. He's talking to the believer. When he's writing a letter to the church, he's talking to the believers. He has a general rule. When the preacher comes to church on Sunday, he's preaching to the believers. Amen. Which are usually all sinners. Amen. Just sinners saved by grace. But we are talking to the brethren. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. So he's talking. He said, brethren, comma. Then he says, be followers together of me. Amen. He's not trying to put himself out there that they follow him, but they follow with him. I wouldn't want you to follow me. I'll mess up and you'll mess up too. But I want you to follow with me the Christ that Paul followed. And that's what he's doing. Brethren, be followers together of me. And that means in harmony that we follow together. If we're together, we're not apart. That's pretty simple to understand. And if we are apart, we're divided. And the Bible said a house divided can't stand. Right? So we need to be together. Have one mind, one accord. Read the Word of God. Every time something happened, God accomplished it, pleased the Lord and was great, it's because they were in one mind and one accord. And they didn't let anything bother them. We do give God the praise and the glory and the honor for all that He does. And so Paul is saying, follow here, just follow with me. He said, be followers together of me. And then he puts in something here that a lot of people don't pay any attention to much. And mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an example. In other words, now I know this, and when you say, oh, I see how so-and-so walks, and sometimes we'll say, by the way they walk and what they do and the way they live, they can't be right with God. And another fellow Christian says, you can't be judgmental. But how are you going to know the right from the wrong if you don't compare them? Amen. That's right. I don't believe we ought to be so judgmental of people. But you know good and well the Spirit of God and the Word of God teaches you to live a certain way. And you know if it's contrary to the Word of God, it's not right. And so Paul is trying to tell them to mark. He said, mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. In other words, watch them that are walking different than we are. And watch them that are walking the way we are. And use us as an example. Now I want to tell you something, beloved. The church ought to be the example of the way the world walks. And I've preached that down through the years. And it's went over like a lead balloon for ages. Before I ever started preaching it, other preachers preached it. And before they preached it, others preached it. Go back, if you will, as far back as you can go back and find preachers. And go back to Paul here. He preached the separation of the people from the world. And Paul preached how that they weren't separated. And we've been preaching that too down through the years. And it's not one subject that people like. And they want to walk the way they want to. You know, anything that's contrary to the Word of God is against God. And the flesh is against God. And the flesh can't please God, the Bible said. And so anything that's against the Lord, against the Word, should be left alone. And we shouldn't be bothering it today. And we ought to get rid of it today. Now, Paul is pretty clear. He said, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. In other words, walk the way we walk. Talk the way we talk. Live like we live. We've tried to set the example. Paul gave them this. We've tried to set the example for you. Let me ask you a question. Is everything you do and everywhere you go and everything you say, is it as an example or for an example? And would you want everybody to do what you do, say like you say and walk like you walk? Then if you can't say that today, we're missing the mark. Amen. But when you get the place that Paul does and we press toward the mark, which is perfection, maturity, right living, amen, then things will change. And we got to get to that place. So I read it again. Brethren, be followers. Be followers. He didn't say don't be. He said be followers together of me. In other words, I've tried to set the example for you. Now follow me. And mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. In other words, mark them. If they're not walking right, you don't have to go the way they go. But if they are walking right, you can have fellowship. I believe that's how we ought to gear things in our life. Now, I don't believe you ought to despise people that's not walking right. I've looked in the Word of God lots of times and seen how that things line up and then look at congregations and say, oh, they're not walking right. What it does is bother me. But we shouldn't be critical. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd be exactly the same way. Think about it. And the grace of God's what keeps you in check anyhow. And then on top of that, you're not perfect, so you got your own faults too. We all have, right? And so we've got to be very careful. And so we try to strive toward walking the way God would have us to walk for His glory and His honor. Now that's exactly what we need to be doing this morning, that God will get the praise and the glory. Now, let's read on. The Bible said in verse number 17 again, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an example," or an ensample. And I've been calling that example every time, it's ensample. Ensample and example are the same thing, but I don't want to change the Word of God. But he says in verse number 18, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." Now here Paul has given us a tremendous verse. Paul is opening his heart. And then he says this, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often." Amen. I've told you this often. Many things. And if you study the other books of Paul, you'll find out he has done it. A walking contrary to the Lord. They claim to be Christians. They claim to be right. They claim to be holy. But they walk contrary. And I know you could say that today, that you've met many, multiplied many, I guess, of people who have walked contrary to the Word of God. And you noticed it. Yet they sing in the choir. They praise God. They go to church. But they live contrary to the Word of God. Something's wrong with that. We know that. We know that. Now, there again, we can't be critical and judgmental, but it ought to disturb us. What happens sometimes is church members say, "Well, I don't go to where they go. I don't live like they live. And my life's a little better than theirs." Is it? Really? Amen. They may not be doing certain things, and you may be doing things just as bad that they're not seeing. Or maybe they're looking at. And so what happens? We're not to be judgmental. God help us. We're not to be judgmental. And we're not to be at the place that we're critical. But if you look at it, God shows through the Apostle Paul the attitude that we ought to have toward that crowd. Let's look at it again. Did you see it? Maybe you didn't see it. "For many walk, comma, of whom I have told you often, comma, and now tell you even what? Weeping." Amen. Paul wasn't critical. He was weeping. It broke his heart that other Christians were not together with him. That other Christians were not walking with him. Does that make sense to you this morning? Does it make you weep and cry when you see folks around you that claim to know Jesus, see them walking in a different direction, doing something that's contrary to the Word of God? Does it break your heart and make you weep? It should. And it ought to. It did Paul. And Paul's the example. And he showed us that. You know why? Paul had a mind of Christ. And he had an attitude in his mind that he's going to press toward the mark. He wasn't going to deviate and go in a different direction. He hadn't attained yet, but he had gotten further down the road than most of us will ever see the day to be. And so now he said, "I'm telling you, I've told you before, watch them, mark them, and how that they, you know, not doing the things of God like they ought to." And he said, "I tell you again, I've been telling you, but I'll tell you again, and this time I tell you with weeping." I've got a burden, I've got a concern. Matter of fact, I want to tell you, Paul had a pastor's heart, if you will. He established a lot of churches, and that's what he does. And you can see he's a good shepherd, because a good shepherd cares for the sheep. And he was concerned about their life. And I know where he's coming from. I've seen this every church I've ever pastored. I've wept and cried over church members because you preach and it goes in one ear and out the other. And I don't care how long you're there. I don't care how much you preach it. It's going to happen that way. People just don't listen 100% to the Word of God. Oh yeah, I've seen of times when some would hear you, get it all straightened out, and thank God for that. But there in the next time, you know, into it, we're human flesh. And as human flesh, we fail. Nobody in here is at the place of 100% maturity and perfection. We hadn't got there yet. And now we like to think that we're better off than Sister so-and-so and Brother so-and-so. We don't go where they go and don't do like they do, as I said a while ago. So that makes us and puts us on a little higher pedestal than them. But Paul has showed us in chapter 3, in an earlier part of chapter 3, that we ought to be humble with some humility. And humility keeps you from exalting yourself to the place that you think you've arrived. I hadn't arrived. I'm still working on this thing. I mean, matter of fact, the Lord's still working on me. I've tried to straighten it out a time or two and tried to get things in my life straight, and I messed up. Amen. I just draw a blank. I can't get there. But thank God for the times He's took a hold of me. Amen. And how that He has helped me along the way, and I give God the glory for that. Now, He said, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." Now, did you see what I just saw? Do you understand what He's saying? There are some, now listen, they claim to be saved. They're part of the church, and Paul's telling us that. He's identifying that here. Amen. If there's anything I have really learned to see and been studying our book of 1 Timothy that I've been preaching on, is how that these words are very important. You know, today in our society, people pick every word you say. Amen. Preachers have that same problem. A congregation picks every word. If he misses a word, they want to flog him like a rooster. I'm telling you. But we look at these. Paul has something to say about these words, and they're all important. The only thing is, you can't find much wrong with Paul's words. Amen. He's right down the line. He said that they are the enemies of the cross. He said those that are not walking according to what the Bible says and what the Word of God says, they're not friends of God. Amen. They're not blessed of God. They are enemies. You know what an enemy is, don't you? An enemy is an adversary. An enemy is somebody that fights God. Now, if I'm reading this correctly, and if my mind is not gone, and I'm not so far-fetched that I can't see the truth, then what I see out of this is, if we step out of line with the Word of God in any shape, form, or fashion, we become enemies. In other words, we become bad testimonies. Now, when God tells us to do something, to walk a certain way, and we don't walk a certain way, guess what that does? It makes people look at us, but what it does really is bring reproach upon Christ. Because Christ has told us not to walk that way, not to live that way. Let this mind be in you. We're to have the mind of Christ. So we have become enemies of God. The Bible said if we love the world, we're enemies of God. And brother, I'll tell you today, I don't want to be an enemy of Christ, do you? He said, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, got tears in my eyes, and my sleep goes from me, and I can't eat good sometimes, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." Amen. Not only the enemies of Christ, but they're enemies of the cross of Christ. What are we to preach? Christ and Him crucified. That's the cross. Amen. We're enemies of the cross. Our blood-stained banner is the Lord Jesus Christ and His blood. And we're to wave it high. And we're to exalt it high. Now in verse number 19, Paul goes on to tell us this. And he says to us in this verse, he said, "Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." Amen and amen. Now, I want you to look with me in verse 19 again. He said, "Whose end is destruction?" Now he's talking to us today about these believers who are walking contrary to the Word of God. What he's saying is this morning that they are enemies, and on top of that, their end, at the windup, it's going to be destruction. It's not going to be good for them. Amen. Now, actually, what Paul is trying to tell us today, and we're not seeing this completely, is that these are claiming to be something that they're not. They're claiming to be brethren. They're claiming to be saved. And I believe our churches are filled with it. People don't like to hear this. People don't want to hear it. They're not going to hear it. But I've got news for you. Most people today that want to obey the Word, walk with the Word of God, they have come to the conclusion that they don't need God. And they've never called upon God. And these people are lost. Our churches are filled with lost men and women. I've gone back to make a statement, and I said this several times before. People basically just go through a ritual of religion. They got rituals. They've got their own idea about how the church ought to be operated. They got their own idea about what the Word of God says to them. And they have a closed mind to the truth, and it's hard to get their minds open to understand the things of God. Now, did you know a closed mind individual is hard to work with? You done got your mind made up. My kids, I raise them kids, and sometimes they already had their mind made up about what I told them. Amen. And you've been the same way. You've gone down on the public job. You done had your mind made up about your job. They couldn't change you about that. As husbands and wives, we've already got our minds made up, and we can't change. They said it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks, you know. Amen. And what it is, we done got our mind made up. And that's the way, and these people done got their mind made up. They don't need God. They got everything they want. They're happy. They're satisfied. They go to church and they put a little religion on their lifestyle, and they carry a Bible here and there, quote a scripture verse every now and then. But they don't care where they go. They'll take a social drink. They'll play around in the world. They'll fool around in worldly things. And they don't care because they're enemies of God. Now, the Bible said, whose end is destruction. And then he said, whose God is their belly. Now that's not necessarily, and I've heard preachers use this sometimes, that's eating, and a gluttony is a sin. But that's not what he's talking about here. God is their belly. Your belly desires, you know, there's a thing about hunger. You'd sit down and eat a good full course meal, you know. I mean all the trimmings. And you eat like you hadn't eaten ages. Next thing you know, you're full. You get up from the table and you say, "Amen, feel good." And you look around, somebody say, "You want something?" "No, I done had too much." You go to a restaurant, they can feed you at a restaurant to where you don't want nothing else. You done had all the cake and the pie and the beans and the taters and everything else. And they say, "You want something?" "No, I'm through. I'm through." And when you get up on that table, you feel like you don't even have to eat another time in your life. Ain't that right? I mean, several times this week you've been there. It may have been a sandwich at the house, but you eat after three or four sandwiches, you're done full. Amen. And so I ain't going to eat no more. But guess what? Just a few little hours go, and next thing you know, you're ready to go to the refrigerator again, see if you can find something else to munch on or eat. And that's the same way it is with these. What happened is their God is their belly. It's got the place that their desires, whatever they're wanting, they're living according to what their flesh desires. And that's what these people are doing. They're claiming to be saved. They're claiming to know the Lord. They've got a Bible under one arm and can quote 15 verses out of the right-hand side of their mouth, but they can curse out of the left-hand side. Understand what I'm saying? They're two-faced in the sense they're hypocritical. They live in a world of hypocrisy. And so Paul says their God is their belly. In other words, there's some problems here. Their God is their belly. And whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. He talks about them. That they mind earthly things. They're looking at the things of what they can pick up and what the world can give them. And whose glory is in their shame. What glory they have is shameful. Don't bring glory to God. Brings glory to self. Brings glory and honor to them. Oh God, help me that I don't try to get glory for self. I catch myself doing that. Now, if you'll be honest, you will too. You'll catch yourself, oh no, preacher, I do everything for the glory of God. Don't lie to me. Amen. Amen. Now, you probably have already this morning here done everything for the glory of God that you feel like. Amen. But just give you a few more hours and maybe a few more minutes and see if you don't start thinking about self. Amen. If you just let self, what do you want? How do you want this? Amen. That's self. And all Christians have that problem. But we are not this way. These people, he said, whose God is their belly, that they live for what they can get out of the world. They live for what they can get out of life. You see? And so we look at it a little bit further. And he says on down in verse 20, he said, for our conversation is in heaven. That word conversation, look at it. Our citizenship. Our ending up, where we're going to go, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not looking for the world to satisfy us. We're looking for God to satisfy us, because we're not really here. We're already seated in heavenly places. We belong to Him, who shall change our, and notice what Paul said, vile body, dirty, ungodly, unholy body. My body's unholy. Amen. Yours is too. That it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. I've been preaching quite a bit in the last few days on the word glorious. Praise God. Unto His glorious body. According to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. And He's talking about the changing of our body. And time's catching us, so I was trying to finish this chapter to pick up again next week in chapter number 4. Actually, I got further than I thought I was going to get. And I give God the glory and the praise for it. He said, for our conversations in heaven. Amen. And then we'll look at it from the standpoint as it says conversation. Our conversation, that's what we want to talk about. It's all we want to talk about. Amen. Because why? It's our citizenship. It's where we really belong. It's where we're going. Amen. I'm going to heaven. Somebody said, what if you died and go to hell? Then I'm going to tell you something. I've been one of the most deceived and confused individuals that ever walked the face of the earth. Because I know when Christ saved my soul. I know when He forgave me of my sin. And I'm not wondering if. I know that I'm saved by grace. And my conversation now is in heaven. And I'm talking about heaven because that's where I'm going. Thank God. This life's going to be over, and I'm going to be gone. And I give God the praise, the glory, and the honor for all of it. So we look at this, because He's going to change these vile bodies and give us a glorious body like unto His. We'll have a body fashioned like unto His glorious body. Let's pray. Father, give us wisdom and understanding. Help us in the remainder of the service today that You might get the glory and the honor. Touching the remainder of everything we do in the song service. Lord, if anybody testifies, praise. Lord, those who preach, I pray God today the power of God might fall. We might go out of this building saying it's been good to bend down to the house of God. Touch our hearts. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Give God the glory, ladies and gentlemen. Give God the glory.